The following show is intended for a mature audience.
But it's really funny.
So, if you're underage,
go to bed.
Easily offended,
get over yourself.
Or just got a gigantic stick up
your ass. Okay.
You all might want to go do some needlepoint or something.
It's the Jethro Silverwing Show on online gaming radio.
It's time to kick your feet up, tune in and waste some time. It's time to waste 2 hours, Jethro Show tonight.
Hey there, dwarf!
Hey, Jesus!
It's like a tragic tale, all the crazy things he makes us do.
I'm just glad I got my ale. To use it.
Well, it's time to get it started on the most sensational, entertainable,
mercantile, perk and whimsical. This is what we call Jethro Silverwing Show.
Oh, we're gonna get sued by the ghost of Jim Henson, I know it!
Hello, everyone. This is the Jethro Silverwing Show for Tuesday, the 1st of September 2009. I am your host, Jethro Silverwing. With me, as always, my love, my wife, the girl downstairs, the burning of my loins, the baker of cookies, the tailor of fine armor, this girl, the reason we have a mature audience warning at the top of the show is Uncle Jenna!
Hail and greetings. You stumbled on that one.
Yeah,
didn't you?
I stumbled a little bit. That's all right.
Yippee-boo.
As a friendly reminder, if you want to join in on the mayhem, you can join in our in-game chat channel. Join eq2.guk.ogr, which is up and running 24/7. It's where the OGR elite come to meet. If you'd like to download any of our skits, interviews, Jethro's parodies, etc., you can get them through kithacore.org. We do want to play the birthday trolls real quick before we introduce our guest. Scott Hartman, who used to... What was Scott Hartman's job?
YouTube producer.
Okay, he was producer before Brenlow.
Yes, and before that, he was one of the on the development team for EverQuest. One of the developers.
So he goes way back.
Well, yeah. I met him when I was a guide. Long time ago. He's an excellent guy.
Alrighty. So it's Scott Hartman's birthday. Also, if you're a fan of GU Comics, the imaginary character Ted, his birthday is today. So we're going to go ahead and play the birthday trolls for Scott Hartman and Ted.
Happy birthday to you! Happy birthday to you! Happy birthday! Happy birthday! Happy birthday to you!
Alrighty, so happy birthday to Ted and Scott Hartman and someone who's choking to death. Who's choking to death?
Those guys need to take a bath. Do we have any Febreze or something? God, they were stinky this week.
What the hell are you talking about?
The trolls!
Oh. Well, they have been rummaging out in the fields around the house, you know.
Oh.
And where, you know, of course, Washington actually has had a not too much rain this year. All the farms around us are fertilizing like crazy. And oh my freaking God.
We live in the land of stench.
Oh, good Lord. It's like, it's the bog of eternal stench. But anyway, okay.
God, it's bad.
It is. It's really pretty bad. I do have an announcement I was asked to make by Nicotel from the Maiden's Fancy. Are you curious about the Maiden's Fancy? Unsure of what we mean by Nariac-flavored entertainment? Want to know the meaning of burlesque? Come down to the job fair, where we'll give you a guided tour of everything we have to offer, and a chance to join our growing family of entertainers, guards, or service folk. and that's happening 8 p.m. Eastern, 1 hour before they normally open. The Maiden's Fancy Guild Hall, Cristanos Plaza in Nariac.
In other words, they're hiring.
Yes, they are hiring. And that's going to be... we didn't actually put a date down here. but I believe they're talking about Thursday, 8 p.m. Eastern, 1 hour before they normally open. Maiden's Fancy Guild, Nariac. All right, having a job fair. All right. Now, do you have anything else before we introduce our guest this week?
Just Irolas Mar.
Okay, that's too long before we introduce our guest. To express our outrage.
You're not going to even mention it?
Fine. Illarissi Mar is dead. Confirmed on the test server. Illarissi Mar is dead. We are pissed off beyond belief. If it was actually part of the next expansion instead of just a live update, I probably wouldn't get the expansion.
Well, you know, it's up to 4 pages. It's in the lore, history and lore area of the board.
Yeah, people are not happy whatsoever.
Well, some people are saying, well, there's a chance that, they've been hinting around that something spectacular will happen this Irolas Mar Day, but it's like...
Yeah, we'll find out. Anyway, moving on. This week's guest, the most happening hobbit in all of Norrath, the amazing Haffer, it's Morian!
Hey, guys.
Hey, Morian, how you doing?
Doing really good.
Thank you very much for coming on the show. This week we're going to be talking all about halflings. Are you up to the task?
I'm very up to the task. I'm always up to the task of talking about halflings.
All righty. Good, because I have no notes whatsoever. But that's all right. I never have any notes.
Ba-dum-bum.
And, of course, I'm torturing everyone who's actually listening to the show by playing the EverQuest 1 Rivervale music over and over and over again.
Yay!
I know how much halflings love that.
Always.
Thank God, I can't hear it. Sorry.
I have been... okay, well, we have one more announcement. I've been given a notice here covered in cat hair. Public service announcement. Open roleplay at Saya's Hammer tonight. That's Saya's, that's P-S-I-A, in room in Nettleville at the Kinos Exchange. There's an open stage night during the second hour. So, open role play at Saya's Hammer. And just to give everyone equal time, I do believe that the Incy Wincy Spider is also open tonight in South Kinos. I believe that's number 2 Bale Court.
So, would you go to Saya's Hammer for a perfectly good time?
A perfectly good time. Saya's Hammer is actually a Kara bar. A Karen bar.
Which is why I purred. Mm-hmm. Well, you do purring better, but... Well. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Back to halflings! Halflings! Damn those little halflings.
Twice the trouble, half the fun. Oh, wait. Mm-hmm. It's the other way around.
That really depends on how you look at them, I suppose. All right. Halflings, living in Rivervale. How did you feel when you woke up in EQ2 and you could not start in Rivervale? Was that devastating?
Well, I'm sure it would have been if I had played EQ1, which I actually did not.
Oh.
I did, at the time I was in college when EQ1 was big, and I just... wasn't really into the online gaming scene yet. I was very into Diablo and Diablo 2, but I had never actually played EQ1.
I had misinformation. I thought you had.
I played EQ1 just enough on my husband's account, at the time he was my fiancé, to learn how to fish and learn to hate it. And that was as far as I go.
Yes, fishing in EQ1 was repetitive and boring.
Yeah, well, and at the time, it was all my computer could really handle, fishing and just a little bit of hunting, so I did a lot of fishing, and I honestly, for years, thought that was all the game was about.
Come to EverQuest, where you can have your epic fishing pole.
Exactly. And in EQ1, I did not play a halfling. I didn't discover the fun of halflings until EQ2.
And I've got to say, for those of you who do not know Morian, it's just perfect halfling roleplay. I love Morian to death. You have to love and hate Morian. Or love to hate her. However you want to put it. But she's just halfling through and through. The only thing I can really even attribute your playstyle to is... God. I would have to say stereotypical, like, Irish grandmother.
Very much so. Very much exactly like that. I actually, in college, I studied some in Ireland. So, Morian's accent that people see, it's not at all supposed to be Scottish. It is more of the Irish brogue.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why she talks like she does. And I base my roleplay of halflings also on what I see in The Hobbit and on from J.R.R. Tolkien, Lord of the Rings. If you look at the credits, the game designers attribute a lot of their halfling lore to Tolkien, so that's why I took the liberty of doing that, because there's so much more to the halfling personality than is really described in the game itself, so I built that into it.
Like shin kicking.
Shin kicking comes, actually that started as a major joke, that Morian was too short to kick anywhere higher. So she kicks people in the shins to get them low, and then the fun starts from there.
Right, kick them in the shins, you make them fall over, and then you start beating them about the face and head.
Exactly. That is exactly what we do.
Or in Jethel's case, you just come out with a hammer. And nail them in the balls. You did that to me once.
I completely forgot about that.
Well, you know, I was under the influence of Bristlebane. I went around causing mischief and stuff, and... God, I can't remember why you couldn't recognize me, but you just hopped up. You hopped up from behind the bar, wielding your hammer, and you nailed me right in the nuts.
I'm pretty sure Morian had been hit in the head pretty hard at that point by somebody wearing fake wings to make it look like he was someone else, like an Bay or an Eretzai. And all Mori saw was the wings, who happened to be on you at the time.
It was fun.
It was a lot of fun. It was really one of the funniest bits of roleplay. And I have so much fun roleplay as a halfling, because it should be remembered that Bristlebane is a halfling too, although a much taller one.
Yes, he is.
So I, in the midst of all the halfling and Irish grandmother stuff, I intersperse a good deal of pranks and jokes.
You know. Of course, one of your most favorite pastimes, going into Freeport and freeing up some of the imprisoned ponies.
Liberating horses is the term, actually. Liberating horses, we also liberate puppies. And, answer your question there, I prefer halflings more in Soga than in regular. I find the regular halflings to be, almost claymation, and yeah. I'm not a great fan of it. And to be honest with you, I love the hair in Soga so much more, just because I use a braid in Soga, and I just love that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have to say, for halflings and dwarves, I always use Soga. For what else, I always use regular.
That and from just general, an odd little quirk about EQ2 is sometimes there are some graphic issues that come with certain zones if you use regular. So I use Soga just to avoid the graphic issues that will pop up.
I really don't like the ogres in Soga, though.
No,
they're more of the Japanese style of an ogre, and just not what I think of when I think ogre.
It's true. Yeah, they look kind of Klingonish, actually. And
yeah.
So
back to halflings. What is it with halflings and pie?
A pie is the perfect dish. If I mean, there's so many things you can do with a pie. There are meat pies, there are fruit pies, there are, you know, there are shepherd pie, there are
quiche.
Exactly. I mean, there's so many things you can do with a pie. Cake is definitely not better than pie. A pie is far, far better. And, of course, one of our racial abilities is the ability to summon pie to us at any point, no matter where we are.
Really?
Indeed. That is one of my abilities as a halfling. I can summon pie from midair, no matter where I am.
Nice.
How are you going to feel when you lose this?
You know, I don't use it very often because the power and the health regeneration on it is actually fairly low. So I don't think I'm going to mind it too much. But it will be kind of bittersweet.
Halflings are losing their pie.
What?
Halflings are losing their pie. It's kind of sad.
One of the new racial stuff that's going on, halflings will not have the ability to summon pie. They have infravision, improved duration over all foods by 25%. Which means it lasts longer for you.
Yes, which we've always had. We have that now.
Pickpocketing and tracking.
Hmm.
But no more pie summoning.
No more pie.
Still more pie summoning.
You'll have to pie the old-fashioned way.
I don't know if I will ever RP Mori as picking somebody's pocket.
You'll have that ability, though.
I'll have the ability.
But you can always bring that in the roleplay. I'm sure you can have a lot of fun with that.
I certainly will. I will have even more fun with tracking. Another one of my favorite pastimes to do is setting traps for people, mm-hmm. so to speak. Door setting traps in a roleplay sense, and also in a physical sense, too, if I can do it. I have totally done it before, where I arrange furniture in such a way that people get totally trapped as soon as they enter a house or a building. And have no way of getting out. Because they can't even evac. It's great.
Remind me not to go into your house.
Actually, Maureen really unless something has changed since the last time I've visited you, Maureen really doesn't stay in her house.
Does not really stay in my house at all. I have the magical manor, but for halfling, it's so huge, you know? And I don't have any of the need that I used to have the status reduction. So actually, if you ever go down into Morian's house, the bottom half is completely halfling sized. I have raised the floor from where it is to about half the height, and I've shrunk everything down in there to the size of a halfling. Like, I have this kitchen that's all halfling sized. She has her own bedroom or sleeping space. It's all halfling sized. It's all very, very short and perfect for a halfling.
Nice. I'm gonna go find your house and check this out.
It is. It's in the Mage's Tower in South Kinos.
There
you know, and I will warn you that there is a good deal of it that is undone and needs work. In the way of a decorator, I decorate everyone else's house, but my own house, I tend to cannibalize and take things out a lot.
Now, you know you had a choice of magical houses, right?
The one in Freeport and the one in Kinos, yeah. I chose Kinos just for ease of getting around.
Hey, why don't you come visit? Come visit me and see my house. Where is it, Freeport? God damn it!
Yeah, I kind of wish now I could go back and change it to Freeport instead of Kinos, because for pure mischief purposes, the idea of having a house in Freeport...
It helps.
Oh, wow.
it helps me with getting around, because I can jump to the hall, hop to my house, and then step out into Freeport, you know, and I'm on the other side. I like it.
Yes.
Oh, yes, everything is tiny.
Yes, and I've put the new queen-size mahogany bed in there, in her sleeping quarters.
Mm-hmm.
Honest, I'm not a great big fan of it, because it has its own little innate light to it, and I'm not sure why the devs put its own lighting into the bed. It kind of looks odd.
It's a nightlight, hon. Get it? Nightlight?
Something like that.
Oh, yeah, and the whole basement is raised up. Nice.
Yeah, and the upstairs is a clinic, as reflects the healing nature of my halfling.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, I'm kind of sad that we'll be losing it, but a halfling for a healer was actually a really good choice on my part, because one of our racial abilities currently that we're going to be losing is a +2 to heal crit.
Ah.
Yes, so that was actually really cool, and I'm glad I chose that.
But halflings are, I mean, you're sort of a, you're a caster class.
I am.
And it's looking at the abilities that are based for the caster classes. Increase plus to heal and plus to spells. Let's see, that's one that
plus
you can...
Plus administration, pick. Yeah, but, mm-hmm. You know, in different forums, you're going to see debate as to whether... giving addition to administration is all that useful after you get to a certain point, especially after you're already at 400 administration.
True. But there is that at least.
Mm-hmm. I like your house. This is really nice. It's simple. It's very, very well decorated, I think.
Thank you. It needs a lot of work. I know it needs a lot of work, but I'm sort of working, and I did ask Clump about this, but I'm working on Clump's house right now, and redoing Clump's house. Including his library, which is, you'll find very amusing.
What are you doing to his library?
I've God is okay for it, but I'm not going to tell yet. I'm just redoing the entire house to make it a little bit more cool for Clump, since it's no longer the LOH Guildhall.
That's true. And just remember, as of the next expansion, we're also going to have more rooms.
That's true.
There'll be another room
upstairs.
This
is true. Well, it'll be the game update, right? It's not going to be the expansion?
Right. As far as I can tell. It's on the test server now.
Yes.
How in the world did you get all of your, these grass squares? How did you get them all level? I could not get mine level.
Just a good deal of messing around and jiggling with it. And again, I haven't really done a whole lot up there. I had a whole lot of more trees up there, and I had, a herd of deer that I ended up putting into the LOH Guild Hall. So, yes, I love the idea of being very nature-based up there, but it's kind of hard to do at this point if I keep cannibalizing it for other people's houses and guild halls.
Well, if you need a carpenter, let me know.
Well, Mori is a level 80 carpenter, and for the most part, the crafting classes I set up for my characters are almost always based on the RP of the character, except for Mori. She's a carpenter just because I love doing it.
Now, RP-wise, Morian should be a provisioner.
Absolutely. Yeah. RP-wise, she should totally be a provisioner. I also play Mask, and Mask is an alcoholic, so he's an alchemist, so that he can make his own alcohol and play with chemicals when he's drunk.
Yeah. Mask is an alcoholic and a womanizer. And
yes.
Mask is like the opposite of Morian.
The exact opposite of Morian, as much as I could manage it.
When you guys say Mask, I think of slimy, grubby, slick.
What?
Yeah, that's that. In many ways, that is Mask. He is as opposite of Morian as I could possibly have imagined. And whereas Morian is, you know, in many ways like the halfling should be, in very courageous, despite her size, refusing to admit that she is so much shorter than the entire world. yeah, Mask is a coward, and that's just the character.
Mm. But he's slimy, too. Slimy personality, not slimy in person, but he does look pretty grungy.
Mask is
looks
a sleazeball.
Looks like he's diseased.
Mask is a sleazeball.
That's it. Sleaze.
I totally agree. Mask, by my own definition, is a dirty rat. Mm-hmm. But he is a Ritonga, not a halfling, so...
Now, wait a minute. You cannot classify all Ritongas like that. Morian is married to a Ritonga.
Mori is now married to a Ritonga. This is true. And I would never have said all Ritongas are dirty rats.
Okay. Just Mask. All right.
Just Mask.
All right.
Morian is also a good character. It's lawful good, which in many ways is just as rare and hard to find as lawful evil. And it's sometimes really hard to play because, you know, when it comes down to it, in so many ways, the fact is that someone willing to play gray has many, many advantages in roleplay because there are certain things that a lawful good person isn't going to do, even if it means they're going to win. You know, if they would win if they did.
But, knowing Morian the way I do, I don't think you're 100% lawful good. I mean, lawful good, you would not be going out there stealing Freeport horses.
Lawful good in this case means that you can totally do that. And remember, you're liberating them from the Overlord, who is our enemy. So it makes sense to steal horses from them and from a strictly logical perspective.
Now you're just trying to justify. We all know that you're a criminal.
Well, no, I mean, it's, I don't know how many have seen the roleplay and the story that we wrote about the liberating horses incident, but it was so much fun because the justification for it was, well, what if the Overlord rides one of these horses? I hear he smells bad and he's gained weight. These poor horses, you know? We should save them.
Oh, God, is that the story? Is that the story you wrote up where Jethel's like standing on the back of two horses,
yes,
two others,
yes,
in tow? I can just picture this heroic deed in act. This Jethel just standing there, riding on these horses, just standing there with all four reins in his hands. That's freaking,
yes,
funny.
Thoughts of Ben-Hur flash in my mind at this point.
Exactly. That was exactly what I was picturing when I wrote that. Now, and I will mention that in terms of EQ2 lore, I know that most halflings are from Rivervale, but not all are either. A good many nowadays are from Kinos, and then even within the lore of the game, from different things I've read, it is permitted that there are small villages or dells of halflings outside of Rivervale where halflings live, since Rivervale was overrun by the tall folk and the Void. So that is where Morian is from. She is not from Rivervale, even to begin with. She is from another place outside of Rivervale.
Mm-hmm. Well, just like I always play out that, you know, Freeport and Kinos are not the only two major cities on the continent. I mean, there are other small villages and stuff like that. You can't just say that, where are you from? Oh, everyone lives in Freeport, or everyone lives in Kinos. No, that would make one hell of a large city. So there's little villages and crap like that, I'm sure, all over the place. Like, I'm sure in the Fae Dark, there are probably some role players out there playing off that they live in a little village outside of Kelothan. Perfectly acceptable, as far as I'm concerned.
Exactly. I don't see how there wouldn't be. Just like there's presumably a good many citizens of the cities of Kinos and Freeport that we just don't see, but there would be a good many more town folk that we are there or implied to be there.
Now, going back on the subject of halflings, because this all of a sudden became the Morian show, not the halfling show, but which is fine. I'm having fun with it. Tell me about the halfling's feet. Are the soles of the feet just like leather or what? I mean, you
the
know
soles of the feet sitting. Would be very strong, would be very firm, and the tops would be furred, just like in Tolkien.
Mm-hmm.
The devs did pull that from that. Most of the halflings I play, and I do play more than one halfling, I try to play them as much as possible barefoot, so that you wouldn't even see that they wouldn't have shoes on at all. And that's just the way I prefer to do it. And not all halflings do that because, you know, there are many places where halflings would run that would be very, very icky to get into your foot hair.
Yeah.
I don't know. Look how far Frodo and Sam made it barefoot.
This is true. This is true, which again is why Morian always wears shoes. Or always goes barefoot. And my other halflings also go barefoot. There are not many halflings out there who... halflings are a pretty rare race on server, actually. On Antonia Bale. You don't really see that many of them. They're kind of a difficult race to play in terms of game mechanics, because there are many situations where a halfling is going to have difficulties that a taller race isn't going to have.
Like what?
Well, let's say that you're like me. I heal, mm-hmm. and sometimes the tank will go into position where if I was a taller race, I wouldn't have the problem. But because I play a halfling, I can't see their feet, so it gives me the message that I can't see the target.
Ah, right.
Well, that wouldn't just be true with halflings. So you're talking about gnomes, ratongas, and possibly shorter dwarves as well.
Exactly. But that's, you know, sometimes I've heard that people say that all tanks and healers should be taller races because of that. Because it would eliminate that.
Either that or go out and get the harvesting cloak.
I have the harvesting cloak, but I prefer to keep my halfling short. I like the idea of being a short halfling. I like the idea of keeping it true to the lore as much as possible.
Mm-hmm.
That halflings are short. And it's difficult and sometimes in roleplay because, you know, let's say that Maureen's up against an ogre. Theoretically, the ogre can just step on her. You know? So I try to play a pretty careful line in respecting the whole size difference. That yes, maybe she is a level 80 warden and in terms of gear and skills at this point can kick a lot of ours, but she's in roleplay, I don't really take advantage of that very often.
Yeah, we've talked about roleplay combat on the show before. That's actually something I'd like to do with the Legion, just get, you know, people who are interested down here to the arena and train them on how to handle it. You know, just because you're a level 1 person, if you're role-playing, you could match up with the level 80, because in role-play sense, it doesn't matter. Now tell me about... You knew this question was going to come eventually. Tell me about Jum Jum.
Jum Jum. Wow.
The magical all-purpose...
Okay, if you look at the graphic, it kind of looks like a root, like a beet.
Mm-hmm.
I understand, and there's nothing in lore that really adds to this, and so when roleplay that I've seen among myself, with myself and other halflings, is that we use the whole plant based on what we need, that we can use the stalk, the leaf, you know, smoke the leaves, the root can be turned into whatever the hell we want. The entire plant is for use. Now, in terms of what it does, it's, from what I understand and from everything I've seen, even in lore, it's kind of like the Narathian version of marijuana. At least the leaves are, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And the rest of the plant has its own abilities kind of like that. So, when you drink tea that's Jum Jum tea, or when you have Jum Jum pie, it kind of explains why halflings are in such a good mood and hungry all the time. Come here, honey.
I'm eating brownies.
Come here. Patrick!
Uh-oh, we got crying
little
man. Come
here, please. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought I had that muted.
That's okay. That's all right.
Dead son.
That's all right. Yeah, Jethel smokes Jum Jum, of course.
Yeah,
you know.
What part of the Jum Jum are you smoking anymore?
Well, that would be the leaves, you know.
Okay, I'm sorry about that.
That's all right. Yeah, Jethel smokes Jum Jum all the time. You know, you see him in the Claymore Channel with his pipe going.
And many other people also smoke Jum Jum as well. It's a lot of fun, because Maury does that to people, too. She will spike people's food and drink with Jum Jum under the idea that it will doubtless make them in a happy mood and hungry at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And halflings,
really,
presumably...
Go ahead.
Halflings would presumably be a little immune to this, because we have so much Jum Jum all the time. So, in theory, we would not be as affected by this.
That's the stuff that ends up putting me to sleep, doesn't it?
Yes, just like that.
Yeah.
There's a good deal of RP behind special sauce that can be made from the root of the Jum Jum and drug people all to heck and back.
Yeah, she gave me some one time and I ended up on the floor real quick. Boom. That was the end of me for the night.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, you know, my alcohol tolerance is like really low, so you can imagine what Jum Jum would do to me. That's extremely low, too.
Now, of course, Jethel grew up in Rivervale and is very well accustomed to Jum Jum, so, you know, along with his natural or unnatural, however you want to look at it, healing abilities, he's pretty much immune to the effects of Jum Jum. That's why he's always smoking, and it's just like, give me something, will you? And just,
Yes, well, and Jethel's history is that he actually grew up in Rivervale, so presumably he too would also, just from tolerating it and having it so much, would be used to it as well.
Yeah.
And that plays with me not being able to tolerate, because I did not grow up there, and the most I spent in Rivervale was as fast as I could get my butt through to Misty Thicket if I had to go through. I was like, ah! It's the music! Twitch. No.
The music, of course, that everyone is listening to right now over and over and over again.
How do you have everybody, like, tune out or something? No, I did spend some time in Rivervale. That was... No!
Okay, so what...
Fair stuff.
Halflings. What else do we need to know about halflings? You're approximately half the size of your average human, which would, you know, why you're called halflings. And,
yes.
Feet, very very resistant and...
and furry, and therefore always warm.
Furry, of course.
Halflings, let's see. They would eat quite a bit, and they definitely would always be interested in a good feast and a good meal. Almost all halflings, by their very nature, by the lore of the game itself, would have a fairly good idea about cooking and they know their way around the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless of whether or not they are provisioner. Although, there are bonuses to our provisioning from just racial traditions. Let's see. Halflings are very, very focused on family, and there is a hierarchy within the halfling family.
A hierarchy.
Yes, and I play halflings as being matriarchal. They are not the patriarchal. They are the lady, and the woman is definitely the head of the house. So, and there's nothing really in lore to debate that or to say it would be otherwise. It's just a lot of fun to play a lot of times.
If you've ever seen any kind of movie, again, with the Irish theme or whatever, father always knows to watch out for mom.
Exactly. It doesn't matter if he's supposed to be the head of the household or not. It's always based on dealing with around the mom.
But Dad, you shouldn't be smoking that. Oh, y'all listen to me. Y'all listen to me. I don't care what your mother has. Oh, hello, dear. How are you?
Exactly. Just don't tell your mom, that kind of thing.
Exactly. I got a question here from Angela Coria. She wants to know if halfling children are called quarterlings.
No, halfling children are called brats. Yes, no. Halfling children presumably would just be called halfling children. I don't ever imagine they'd be called quarterlings, but that's a good question.
And you mentioned hierarchy. Wouldn't with halflings be lowarchy?
You're gonna get kicked
so
in the
sad.
Shins.
So sad. Yes, okay, it's a lowarchy. I misspoke.
Gotcha. Oh, God.
Halflings are very, very interested in pranks.
Yes.
I don't see anyone who, unless it's an aberration for the character itself, and I do have another halfling who, like, never plays pranks, but that's an aberration for the character, and that's something that I make pretty clear is specific to that character. But they would always be interested in pranks. Now, Maureen herself does not follow any god, but if she did, it would totally be Bristlebane. I just am too lazy to go through the quests.
What? I mean, I prated Bristlebane. At least that's one excellent thing that came out of the halflings is Bristlebane. I enjoy having him as a deity. For now.
For now.
For now, I say, because you know, I gave Tunair her walking papers a while ago. I could do that to Bristlebane too, but gonna have to get you to do the quest. It's so easy. Then you can have your little meat beast.
Yeah, I'm just at 200 AA, so I figure I'd wait until the expansion or something.
Nice. Well, congratulations on your 200 AA.
Thank you. It came with work.
I'm sure it did.
Well, anytime you want to do it, let me know. We'll go through it anyway. The hell with the AAs. Or waiting.
I may do that anyway.
It's fine.
Now, the question also is... I don't know if everyone knows it, but you can actually get AA from killing the named halflings in Enchanted Lands.
Ooh.
Which I do not recommend anyone do, but they do give AA if you mentor down.
No killing the halflings!
The only halflings I've ever killed are the ones that are corrupt. And they actually thank you for having you kill them.
Yes.
Yeah. Wow, that's really corrupt.
Well, there'd be your
my other characters
them.
Will totally kill halflings for AA. I won't do it on Mori, though. I have something against doing it on Mori.
Yeah, I can't see Morian going after any halflings. Alright, what else do we need to know about halflings? What's up with living underground?
It's close, it's safe, and it's hard for tall folk to find it. That's another thing that is within the lore of the game, that halflings instinctively probably distrust tall folk on some level just because they are tall. There's, you know, the idea that we are small means we can totally be picked up by anyone and carried around like a frickin' suitcase at any time. So, there would necessarily probably be a certain distrust of tall folk and a disliking of that.
But not a distrust of Jethel.
Well, probably not of Jethel.
You love Jethel.
Jethel's earned a certain amount of trust, and Jethel's also learned not to pick up any of my characters.
Well, unless it's an emergency type of situation, like you get knocked out, and, well, we need to get her out of here. I remember there was actually a situation, I can't remember the circumstances behind the situation, but we needed to get you out of somewhere, and I went to pick you up, and someone was like, no, don't pick her up.
Yes.
Well, how the hell are we supposed to get her out of here?
People pretty much know not to do that.
Well, I'm sorry. If I pick you up to save your life, I don't think you're going to, fight that.
Well, and the halfling, my halfling would disagree on principle. But, you know, again, not all halflings would. Halfling women would probably be fairly bossy and would presumably know what's best, regardless of whether or not they actually do. But they would definitely say they know what's best.
And definitely not admit it if they were wrong.
Never admit it if they were wrong.
I know you've come up with some pretty imaginative responses to, you know, if anyone's ever found you wrong about saying something. Well, you'll just come up with some kind of an excuse why you're actually right.
Yes, exactly. Just because that's what a halfling would that's what Morian would definitely do. And I think most halflings I've seen roleplayed do the same. Now, halflings are pretty rare. Again, they're so rare to see on server. You don't really see them RP'd very much.
Maybe just a little more rare than halfling, Frogluck.
Yes, I'd probably agree with that. But, I mean, poor Frogluck, they're not only a player race, but they're... a race of things you can say that you kill. Like, I have Slayer of Frogluck's now. And I would feel so bad if I was a Frogluck and I walked around seeing somebody with the Slayer of Frogluck's title.
Well, how about if a Frogluck got a Slayer of Frogluck?
Yes, I mean,
you're a mass murderer!
That would be terrible.
But it would go over really well in Freeport. Don't you agree?
I totally agree. And eventually my halfling SK is going to get that as well. And yes, I do have a halfling SK because I think there's nothing more fun than a halfling SK.
It is funny. I remember when halflings and gnomes were given the choice of being rangers and shadow knights when it opened up in EverQuest 1. Everyone had a shit fit. It's like, are you insane? But everyone just took it as a joke and ran with it. So he had all these alts running around with names like Little Evil.
Yes. My Halfling Shadow Knight kicks ass one shin at a time.
Tuli made a little comment there. Harm touches your shin.
Ah, yes, exactly. Exactly. I really enjoy my Halfling Shadow Knight. He's horribly geared at this point, but when I get him geared and get the AA, it's going to be a lot of fun.
Okay, I'm trying to think here. What else can we think about halflings? We've covered Pi. We've covered Jum Jum.
Halflings have big families. Within the lore, we would have big families, lots of children,
mm-hmm.
Lots of brothers and sisters. A situation where you have a halfling who's not married or whatever would be fairly unusual.
So you're saying marriage, then sex, or just promiscuous sex, having lots of children?
Well, again, I go by the lore of Tolkien, and presumably within that lore, since it is based on very old style English, and that was his stereotype for the halflings that he based the halfling tradition on, it would be marriage before sex. Now, I know that the Jethel way of looking at it doesn't necessarily agree, but that's what I do.
All right, then. I'm getting tells from people who would probably hate me if I mentioned their names, wanting me to get more in-depth into the details of halfling sex, just because I think they want to see your brain get the blue screen of death.
Yes, my brain might actually blue screen of death. And halfling sex, it would, I guess, it would be just like regular, for tall folk, too.
Shorter.
But, you know.
Well, just, you know, with halflings, shorter. Okay, your main, how much attracted are you to feet? The hair on the feet. I mean, is that like a big turn on? I mean, when you look at another halfling,
look
do you
at
look
him.
At their
barely,
eyes, or do you look at their feet?
He barely has any wisps on there. I think we blue screened her.
No, you didn't blue screen me. almost. It was pretty close. I don't know. I've never really roleplayed that out on any of my characters. I would just presume that it would be kind of seen like hair on your head. You know, it wouldn't necessarily be a big turn on. There's no reason to assume that halflings would have foot fetishes.
Well, I don't think she was talking about a fetish, really. But, you know, but like you were saying, you know, attributing it to, or equating it, I should say, to the hair on a man's head. I mean, would you find someone, you know, a halfling with hairless feet less attractive or less of a halfling, if you're getting my meaning?
I don't know. I think it would be seen as kind of like, a bald man isn't seen as less than a man. It's just seen, you know, as bald. So presumably it would be kind of like that. Like, oh, well, that's unusual. Look at that. That must be kind of cold in the winter, huh? But I don't see that it would make them less attractive to other halflings. It would just make them, you know, bald-footed.
All right.
See, I always thought halflings took pride in their foot hair.
I definitely will play my halflings as taking pride in their foot hair, as keeping it well-groomed, you know, clean.
She has tiny little rollers?
No, there are no rollers.
So why would you take so much care and polish to your foot hair if it wasn't some sort of grooming thing to, you know... You don't think other halfling males would be attracted to the texture, the curl, or the wave of your foot hair?
Possibly. Again, I have one other halfling who's a male, and I don't really roleplay that out with him so much. The thing about halflings is this. If you're looking to avoid cyber, halfling is a very, very good race to choose. Halfling and Rotonga and Frogluck. Just because, you know, it's like, you're not going to get very many tells. Hey, you know, how about we get busy later on? It's just unless, not going to happen.
Unless perhaps they're driving an old beat-up van and, you know, they have, like, candy and stuff.
Yeah, this is true. But so many people see halflings kind of almost childlike, and it's a real... In terms of avoiding cyber, it's very, very useful. And since I'm not really into that myself, it's very useful for me.
Not to cyber, I don't know. Okay.
Of course, that brings me to the next question by our anonymous person making fun of you. Since you're married to a Ratonga, have they consummated?
You know, that's a good question that my brain approaches and backs off right there. So, we're going to leave that as not even up to anyone's imagination. That's just something we're not going to answer.
That is something private between you and Safer.
Yes. Now, I will add this, that it is definitely not something we have roleplayed.
Okay.
It's, you know, we don't go there in our roleplay. Right. It's not even something we approach.
Alright, and I respect that. Okay, well, I got nothing else. Let's talk about... No. I'm kidding. Now, how do you pronounce... Is it Safer, or...?
It is Schecher.
Schecher.
And yeah, that's the way that Schecher pronounces his name. Yeah. Halflings are really easy going, you know. I don't know of any half-halflings, although Maureen does adopt family, and she says that once they are adopted, they are whole halfling regardless of what race they are. Presumably, being a halfling would have nothing to do with what race you are so much as it's more of a mind thing than a blood thing.
It's a mindset.
Yes, much more of a mindset. There would be, I guess, halfling rights to be followed, like certain things that halflings deal with that other races don't know about. In keeping with the lore of the game, I always roleplay that a halfling is not does not come of age until they are 33 years old. And until then, they're considered fairly young. Or underage.
What is the lifespan of a halfling?
150 years old, according to game lore. And then, depending on, you know, your character situation, it could be more or less than that.
Alright. I know some people say that elves have a 700-year lifespan or something like that, but I've always looked at it that no elf has ever died of natural causes. That's how I've always looked at it.
A lot of times, yeah. Probably not. Not with an elf.
But then again, elves go off to war and stuff like that, so they die of unnatural causes all the time.
Halflings would die of natural causes, and, you know, our generation would be shorter than elf generations.
I'm going to answer this question here I got from, I don't even know who the heck I got this from, but wants to know if there could be halfling Sarnax. I would say no. I think.
Yeah, I don't think so.
No, we covered when we talked about Sarnax last week or the week before, something like that, when we covered Sarnax. Sarnax must mate with Sarnax.
Yeah, I don't see them going too far out of that. And just like, you're not really going to see very many halfling relationships with other races unless they're shorter races. It's just not something you see a lot of.
Of course, Jethel's a short elf, so you never know. Well, actually,
yes,
according to
Jethel's a short elf.
Actually, according to Jethel's lore, here's your great 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 grandfather.
Yes, maybe a couple other greats added in.
Probably with Jethel's long life. If you were a descendant of Jethel's first girlfriend. How do you feel about that?
It's entertaining, to say the least. Because every time Maureen adopts someone, she tells them, oh, by the way, you're related to Jethel now, too. And their eyes always get great big. They go, what? What?
Well, yeah, that was great when I approached Shard the other day in the Laughing Ogre Tavern. So,
yes.
I understand you have a new adoptee here. And Shard's like, no, don't.
Don't go there. Yes, that's entertaining to say the least for me, to say, oh, by the way, you're also related to Jethel, and people kind of panic a little bit when they hear that.
That's okay. But Maureen
runs screaming down the street in terror.
But of course, yeah, so you have the distinction of being Jethel's only living blood relative. Even though,
yes.
Even though it is very distant.
Yes, and because, again, Irish grandmother sort of thing coming into it, she also is totally not at all influenced or intimidated by that. She kind of considers him, in some ways, under her, actually, because he would answer to her on things, as opposed to the other way around.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm just going to roll my eyes here. Okay, Lara, I believe, has been asking this all night, so I'm going to go ahead and she's asked like 4 or 5 times now. What do halflings think about Frostfell?
Lots of food. Lots of celebration, dancing, singing. Halflings love to dance and sing. I will play in that there are gatherings in the Bobbleshire all the time of people getting together to dance and sing and celebrate parties and stuff like that. If it's in my roleplay, I include all sorts of things, halfling bakers and everything that would love Frostfell as well. And no, there are no Frostfell halflings, just like there are no Frostfell elves.
But there are Frostfell elves. Just because Lyra doesn't happen to be one doesn't mean that they're not there. I mean, you see them outside of the Frostfell Wonderland all the time. Says Frostfell elf above their head.
Angela Corey asks if halfling cooking is divine. As they say, it is better than divine. Halfling cooking would be just the best cooking ever. It would be everything you want. And I presume that because halflings have so many disadvantages when you come down to it. They're small. They wouldn't necessarily be super strong. They wouldn't necessarily be super fast. I kind of think of them, and I've been told that many other people agree, that they're kind of like a waking dream, and there's so much about halflings that would put them in a disadvantage in a world that fights against evil and would put them in a place where they would fall prey to that evil a good deal. And in so many ways, and others have agreed that halflings are kind of like a hope that evil isn't going to win. But
you just look at the wee halfling and go, there's got to be more to life! Look at the wee halfling! I mean, we should just march up to Lucan's chambers and go, stop being evil! Look at the halfling! And then Morian looks up at him with little puppy dog eyes, you know, big eyes. Be like, stop being evil, sir! And Lucan would be like, I can't be evil anymore! I looked at the halfling!
Lucan would probably consider that to be, I don't know, dinner or something like that. And that's something else that you see in lore, that halflings are dinner in some parts of Norrath, you know? They are...
Trolls?
They make halfling pickles and halfling wine, and it doesn't mean that it's made by halflings. It means it's made out of halfling.
Well, what the hell? You know what it is? It's all that jum-jum. Make you nice and tasty.
Yeah. And, you know, it's so funny sometimes, because when I roleplay a halfling, and then you'll find someone, like, if, for example, a Tyrdal or a Dark Elf, who is trying to follow the lore of Nyriak, where halflings are considered dessert. And it's just like that. It's so weird sometimes to think about that halflings are, you know, they make cobblers out of halflings in Nyriak.
You know, I have the old cookbook. You ever read that?
I have not.
Let me get down to it, and I'll tell you exactly how they prepare a halfling.
Great, thanks. I really want to hear that, huh? Thanks. See, secretly, Elkin Jenna is a cannibal.
I am not!
That's the half. That's the high elves.
Shh. A secret roleplay. But anyway.
I didn't say who. Jeez. I didn't say where. Let's see, where is my old cookbook? I know it was here just a minute ago.
Yes, people are pointing out that Froglucks are also that way, but, and there are other races who are considered dinner as well by certain races, including Ratanga. Ratanga have a lure that they're chased and considered prey by some races.
Well, I'm getting frustrated now. I'm on this quest. I'm doing Infiltrating the Sanctum. And I have to find a trial stone to start the next event for me to move on in this quest. It's supposed to drop from any mob in the zone. I've been killing for over an hour now, and I haven't seen it yet.
So do you want to hear this?
No, not really. Oh, Lara just linked something. What about the halfling xylophone? Is that made from halfling?
I've been told it is, and the halfling drum, the halfling drum, I've been told is also made out of halflings.
No!
It's not made for halflings, it is made out of halflings.
Now that's just wrong.
Originally, the concept behind it was based on something made out of halflings.
Great.
How about the channel? Maybe they want to hear what they consider how to prepare halflings.
Fine, go ahead. Marion, hide you! Cover your ears!
Well, according to the old cookbook that I picked up a long time ago, it says halfling is a generic term used to describe a short, big-footed race. One can generally substitute gnome or froglock, bearing in mind the generally smaller...
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought I had it muted. I was talking to my son.
Generally smaller stature of the later races. Froglock, in particular, is in high demand, but small supply. Gnomes are not as hairy as halflings, but they are more delicate and may be better suited for other uses. Identifying edibles, halflings are the number one choice of all cooks interviewed. They are meaty, and because they are omnivores, they are versatile in the kitchen. Gnomes, on the other hand, are softer and more tender. A definite plus is their relative lack of hair, which some find more appealing. And, of course, who can forget the delicacy that is froglock? Their taste is legendary. Finally, the relative newcomer to the culinary scene is Rotunga. They are easily identified being halfling-sized rodents. How do you feel about being, you know, referred to as, I mean, you know, they can either use you or a gnome, or, you know.
Well, you know, personally, I would find it absolutely raging. And that's something that I deal with, too. It's a struggle with roleplay. I mean, how do I roleplay this character out who would be perfectly aware that Tyrdal in Nyriak consider her dessert? So I have to, when I roleplay with Tyrdal, a lot of times, unless I know that Tyrdal, I roleplay it as Morin would necessarily be distrustful of a dark elf.
Well, in this book,
a troll.
In this book, they've got you basically listed as, well, they say they do not advocate serving halflings, gnomes, or Rotungas as appetizers. They are obvious choices for skewers or pickling in brine for long-term storage. There you go with the pickling.
This is true. And somebody has reminded me, actually, that there are rules that I have established for the fair treatment of halflings that to help with that as well, to keep halflings from becoming dinner.
Let's hear those rules.
Okay, let me try to pull them up here. But the rules started, of course, in the Festival of Unity a year or so back now, that I found it was necessary to post public announcements to remind everyone on the fair treatment of halflings. It was... they were not really authorized or even really agreed to by the Festival of Unity other planners, but once we started putting them out there, everyone agreed that we would keep them because they were pretty funny. And I'm pulling up my rules right now. One of the rules, of course, is the halfling should never be picked up, punted, tossed, thrown into rivers, lakes, put into bags, thrown into walls, torn limb from limb, rooted, dangled, or tackled. Halflings should never be tickled or pickled, or tied to a tree, or dropped into lakes, or used for target practice, forgotten, lost, or baked into pies, or painted odd colors. Halflings should also never be tossed from a catapult. You can see I try to make my rules fairly inclusive of everything I could imagine going wrong.
Nice.
Halflings should never be allowed to go hungry. If you see a halfling, she's probably already hungry, so if you haven't offered food, you've already broken the rule. People always agree that they like painting them colors.
Painting them colors?
Yes, painting color halflings colors. This comes from the fact that halflings often use as one of our pranks that we paint other people colors. And this is indeed something that we have role-played out on various people, including Clump. A good many Rutongas have been dyed colors. Yes. A good many elves have been painted. Horses often are painted.
The only painting you got was a mustache at one time.
Yes, that's the only painting that Morian's ever gotten. Halflings should never be followed anywhere near a cliff, or for that matter, pretty much anywhere at all. We're surprised as much as everyone else is when we fall off a cliff, or a building, or run into a pack of monsters trying to eat us. And halflings, I don't know if you've ever played a halfling or a shorter race, but it's true that we often have a hard time seeing things that are coming up in front of us, because we do are a bit shorter and it affects our point of view. So we do sometimes get surprised. Halflings should never be used as bait or ballast. Monsters may think of us as hors d'oeuvres, but it's not right to fling us out there to be eaten.
No, it says right in the cookbook, you're not to be served as hors d'oeuvres. Roasting and pickling is fine, but no hors d'oeuvres.
Halflings are not edible or friedable or giveawayable. They should never be offered in any way to Ixars or ogres or trolls in any way at all. If any time you play a halfling, you're going to get used to being referred to in groups as bait or treats for the mobs to be thrown out there and pull the mobs to you. So you just eventually get used to that.
I'll remember that the next time we go out and you try to throw the ranger out there.
Exactly.
Well, I'm getting a message here from Mazzy, who says that Mazzy has painted Morian before.
I think Mazzy has. I think she painted Morian pink. But Mazzy paints everyone and everything pink. So that's not really a surprise.
Ah, I see. Wait a minute, you haven't painted pink. Yeah, but she does it to everyone.
Okay. Yes. also, shin guards should never be worn near a halfling, because it's very rude and inconsiderate to wear shin guards. If you're wearing a shin guard, then really what it means is that a halfling has to go get a chair to kick you.
Nice,
and
nice.
That takes forever.
Alright. You know what? I think we are going to take a little bit of a music break here. When we come back, we're going to be playing Where in Norrath is Cheez-It Nibble Buns. Any songs you want to hear, Maureen?
You know, you have the one that is about
Lock Up, Here Comes the Halfling?
No, there's one you have that I absolutely adore.
What's that?
That it's about a halfling in Antonica kicking shins.
Oh, Hunting in Antonica.
Yeah.
Alright, so we'll put that one on.
And then you also have the other thing. God, I can't remember any of your titles, and this is just because I have a kid in my arms right now.
Okay, well, if you describe a song, you might be able to call it up.
It goes to the tune of Leader of the Pack. Halflings love to snack.
That's the one that I actually wrote. You gave me the idea for.
Yes, but totally in line of the halfling of the halflings. So we should go with that today.
All right. So let me get those up here. Let's see. Got that one, and then halfling snacks. Here we go.
I think you should throw in Lock Up the Bar. Here Comes the Halfling.
And of course, I am premiering a new song tonight as well. We're going to play that one first, and that is Talk Like a Rutongan, which of course is done to Walk Like an Egyptian.
That sounds amazing.
You haven't heard that one yet?
I have not, no, but I just came back from a week vacation out of town
that's right.
And didn't have internet access, so.
That's right, I forgot about that. Yeah, this new Talk Like Vertongans is available at kithacore.org for anyone that wants to download it. I do actually have a new song that was recommended to, well, not recommended, was written originally by Caloria, who was our guest when we were talking about Dark Elves. I rewrote it a little bit, and I'm going to be releasing that at kithacore.org after the show tonight, called... Crap, I can't remember what it's... Dark... I have yet another song called Dark Elf Girl, but this one's done to Uptown Girl by Billy Joel. I think it was pretty well done. Alright, so we are going to play the new song first, and then we're going to hear Hunting in Antonica, which does actually feature Morian. Halflings Love the Snack. Then Close the Bar, Here Comes the Halfling. And when we come back, we'll be playing...
Sir! Sir!
What do you want?
Sounds of swords clashing on shields! Mass hysteria! It's mayhem out there!
That can mean one of two things.
What's that, sir?
Either there's a horde of rampaging orcs attacking the camp,
Or
Jethel has released a new song!
In the long ago, when that shaped the world, it was all a different traditions, laws,
always
our tongue has got ways of keeping them. Didn't quit more agile, our feet, our hands, our noses, and if the air, our whiskers, no. Good night if you are really there. Talk us down in Temple Street, say
hey, oh, hey, oh, hey, oh, hey, oh.
Talks like Rotongans. Well, ask a friend, the tunnels from men pursued, are they grasping, grab her tail? Sulfurless tales,
always
east wherever we travel, go or hail. So run your combs of ivory, silken hairs, they bring along a life. The story goes,
always
tell the tales of Rotongians. Tongans out all getting their shinies. Shot likes Rotongans. The wood elves live in trees, the Karens pounce, the humans all attack, the halflings dance,
always
militia
always
riding round on the horsey back. The Ixar and the Sarnak not have a hair, they must be really cold. The mighty dwarves,
always
with their beards, make it looking old. You see the Arasai and the Fae come up to the knees on Halatians. They not have fun,
always
with the shinies like Rotongians. All the tongues in Temple Street say,
hey, oh, hey, oh, hey, oh, hey, oh.
Talk like Rotongans. Talk like Rotongans.
Metallica. Oh, she's a fierce and pretty fae. Bears to kill, games to play. Though others warn, she flitters on. She's a furry-footed halfling girl, the first time out to see the world. Her journey begins, look, she's kicking shins. Badgers hunting bears, they're hunting Antonica. Harvest notes to sell their wares, they're hunting Antonica. Leaving Freeport across the sea, they're coming to Antonica. Little Arisat just stabbed me, but she did it in Antonica. Coming to Antonica. They're coming to Antonica. They're coming to Antonica. They're coming to Antonica today. Hello there, my barbarian friend. Humans and elves, gnomes, halflings, Karens playing with batongas. Yeah, no, wait, hold, no, do not move. From undead fields to haunted farms, Black Rose forces raise alarms. Beasts and bandits cross the hills, keeping tally of my kill. I told them that I'd bring some homemade cookies.
Ooh, yes, we see.
That's when I learned that halflings love to snack. I arrived and I put my cookie plate down.
He took it back, he put it down, down.
Greeted some friends and when I turned around. All was left was crumbs.
Those are really good.
I learned a lesson. Halflings love the snack. They gathered round, wiping mouths with hankies and sleeves.
What a time to get better, what can we chew?
They gathered round, swapping halfling recipes. Drinking ale to unwind. Then someone showed up with pie. They swarmed in like locusts. Halflings love the snack. Aw, oh, man.
Walter, just thank you for coming over here today to the fair.
Oh, you're welcome.
The cookies were very, very nice.
Well, good. Glad
you
liked
them. Well, you didn't have to bring any pie, did you?
Yeah, I got one right here.
He's got pie!
Nothing to do.
Do.
Dancing round with good friends and good food. Outsiders don't understand. Beer, cakes, cookies, and polka bands. Don't come empty-handed. Halflings love to snack.
dum da da dum da 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 dum da da dum da da dum da da dum da 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 da.
Takes so much, and she pulled a chair with care, and then she gently brushed my hair, and it felt all so weird. She had a beard, she was thick. I had to think quick, or she'd never let me go. Too drunk to say no, I hope she'd get the hint and leave. And so I looked at her through my frosty stein, asked if she wouldn't mind a small request, and she said yes. As my nerves she'd test, she grabbed my vest. I got up and adjusted my down, and I slammed my glass down and looked at her and shouted, "Hey baby, just fill her up! 'Cause my pony wants to run." I've loaded up my packs, heading to the tavern, and I'm never looking back. My AT's looking fine. All the girls, they stop and sing. Lock up the bar, here comes the halfling. All the dwarves say, lock up the bar, here comes the halfling. Lock up the bar, here comes the halfling. All the dwarves say, lock up the bar, here comes the halfling.
And we're back, and I completely forgot to put Jesus music on. Let me see here. Hold on a sec. We're going to get this one here, and then this one here. And it's time for Where in North is Cheese and Nibble Buns?
Is he creeping Ralphie or Kellethan or Kina Hose? A stabby freak for Tonga that everybody knows. He'll fit inside your pack tags and run off with your cheese. Tell me where in Norath is
Cheese and Nibble Buns.
Alright folks, this is Where in Norath is Cheez-It Nibble Buns. This is the game where game of 100 or so questions or whatever, and we try to narrow down, find out where in Norath is Cheez-It Nibble Buns, and the winner will get a prize. What will the prize be? Will it be a rubber ducky? Will it be a SOE podcast t-shirt? Will it be a sack full of halfling pickles? We don't know yet. Well, go ahead and join us there in guck.ogr on our chat channel there. And let's try to find out where in Norath is Cheese and Nibble Buns. Whippip wants to know if he's near halflings. I do not see any halflings. Lara, he is not in Lava Frost, nor is he in Everstorm. Our good buddy Farrell on the Nectulus server wants to know if he's in a city. No, he is not in a city. He is not in the Moors of Yakisha. Romain wants to know if he can see the sky. He can see the sky. See the sky. Tsunami wants to know if he's in Greater Phaedar. He is not in Greater Phaedar. Is he near water? I do not see any water. Is he in a forest? He is not in a forest. Orion, do you care to lend a question there? Orion? Hello? I think we lost her.
I'm sorry. No, I'm here. I had it muted.
Oh, okay. he is not near water. I do not see any water anywhere where he's near. But yet he is not in a desert. He is not on the Dalir continent. I can say that for certain. Is he near the common lands? Nope. Oh, Pharaoh wants to know if he's in the Overrealms. He is in the Overrealms. That's the plane of sky, right?
Yes.
Okay, yes. He is in the Overrealms. But where is he? Ooh. Where in the Overrealms is he this time? Where in Norath is Cheez-It Nibble Buns? Only you can decide. I have forgotten where he is. Hold on a second. Okay, Tibar is close. He is in the Bone Mire, but where in the Bone Mire? Remember, he is on a point that you can find on the map. He is in the Bone Mire. Now, where in the Bone Mire is he? See, this is going to be a real short where Norath is Cheez-It Nibble Buns. Shoot, where am I? I have completely forgotten where I am. okay. Damn it! Delmon has guessed correctly. I don't want to give stuff to Delmon. Wait a minute, Delmon is not eligible because he is a DJ with Online Gaming Radio. Therefore, Extenix, I think that's how you pronounce it. Extenix from the Antonia Vale server has won. He is at the halls of fate. I'm going to get a tell here from Delmon any minute now. Extenix from the Antonia Vale server, you have won. Please send a in-game message to Jethal, that's J-E-T-H-A-L, with your real mailing address, and I'll make sure... give me your t-shirt size, and if I have the t-shirt, I will mail it to you. If not, I have consolation prizes. I am running out of t-shirts. I have to contact my good friends down at Sony and see if they can send me another care package. I am running out of stuff. So congratulations, Astenix. I'm not even sure if I've ever seen Astenix in the channel before. Not a name I'm familiar with. But, yep, send me your information. We'll send you the stuff. I'm camping back to Jethal. I'm going to change the music back. So we're talking about halflings!
Is there too much one can say about halflings?
I don't believe so. I like halflings.
I really love halflings. I think they're the best racing game.
Oh, I think I just crashed out of EverQuest.
Oh, no.
Well, that happens sometimes. No, I have my gamma turned up with EQ so I can see a little better. So anytime my screen goes back to normal, I know the game's crashing.
Yeah.
Yep, there it goes. So I will log back in a minute. So halflings. What else can we say about halflings?
Halflings have one of our abilities. It's a strange ability that we do not use very often, but we have Protection of the Jum-Jum. And what it is, it's a short duration ward that protects a halfling against all damage.
Really?
It's about 1,200 points. Yes, absolutely. It's about 1,200 points, and we can cast it at any time. We'll be losing that, which makes me really sad, because that's a really great self-ward that I use in emergency situations. It has a pretty long reuse time, a recast. It's like almost 5 minutes, but still, it's a great little ward, and I'll miss that.
I never heard of that.
Yes. We also have our own slashing and strike that debuffs the target, and it's really the only debuff I have as a warden, or one of the few debuffs I have as a warden. That it's a melee attack that we're halflings have.
But you're losing that, huh?
Yeah, looks like we will be losing that. I'm kind of excited about the changes that are coming. I'm kind of excited that we'll be getting the tracking, for example, which was rumored that we'll be getting.
Right. And of course, Alakazam's. Alakazam does have a nice write-up on the new racial traits. So if you want to check them out at some point.
Yes, I'm kind of excited about the tracking. I think it kind of makes sense that a halfling, being that we are kind of woodsy people, would have tracking.
Yeah.
Yes. One of the biggest problems the halflings had recently was Tinkervest, because those blasted gnomes brought in all those strangers to Bobbleshire, and they were getting into everything.
So there's lots of garbage lying around the Bobbleshire?
There were people from all over Noreth running around the Shire, picking up things and bothering us and going into our houses and the buildings. That was actually kind of a pain in the neck.
God, I can see it. Get out of my house!
Exactly. They were going into our shops and our houses, and it was ogres, and it was dark elves, and it was people from all over Noreth, and the guards did nothing.
Get out of my house! There's no cult in here!
Actually, I even wrote a story about how there was a small riot in the Shire because of Tinkerfest, because, some halflings, and particularly my halfling, happened to be wearing bright and shiny armor that day. And the sun reflected off of it just right.
And it looked like a cog.
It looked like a cog, and she was picked up by a short-sighted ogre. very upset at.
Oh, I'm sure. And where you were being picked up, I'm sure where you kicked was not the shins.
No, it was not the shins, and she did horrible things to said ogre, but in the process, also, she tore his bags, and cogs went everywhere, and people thought there was a fight over cogs. Oh, it turned into a riot.
There's a run on the cogs! A run on the cogs!
Exactly, and it did not go well, but that's another one of the stories. I love writing stories for halflings and for Morian, and explaining, all sorts of horrible things that happen because we are so short and unexpected things happen. I also love that we have our own racial language. I love giving my... And not all halflings have an accent by any means, I know this, but I love giving my halfling an accent. And role-playing that she doesn't always understand common very well.
That is fun.
It drives some people nuts sometimes because, I love playing the joke on, for example, High Elves and Erudites, as Jethel pointed out. There are two races that fall victim to my jokes fairly often. Because anytime they use a word that, even in English would be fairly a complex word, she doesn't always know it.
I like that. God, I'm going to butcher this name. Tuili, I think, maybe. I know she plays a dark elf on another server, so, don't kill me on it. I don't have an accent. You have an accent. What was that?
Well, and also, I play that when she speaks her own language, she doesn't have an accent. When she's speaking in Stout, she loses her accent.
Well, Stout would have its accent built in, I would imagine.
Exactly. In terms of Stout, what would Stout sound like? There's not really any kind of idea. I always play that it would be kind of Celtish, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
it would have a almost like a musical tone, which kind of fits who what halflings are. They're a very musical race. They forever singing and dancing. So it kind of fits that they would have that. Now, the fact that it's shared by dwarves, I'm not really sure. Like, personally, I'm not sure how to roleplay that out and how to understand that. But perhaps dwarves also would have that ability and that musical background.
Maybe.
I mean, they get drunk a lot.
Well, you know, I tend to think of it this way with the dwarves. You know, you get people who get drunk occasionally. Dwarves get sober occasionally.
Yes.
Dwarfo, you're sober. Are you feeling okay?
I'm not feeling myself today, buddy. Give me some juice.
Juice.
I'm getting asked to give a brief backstory for Morian. I don't know if you want to hear that on a show all about halflings, though.
Go for it.
Okay, Morian is actually from her own village. She is not from the Rivervale. She joined the Legacy of Honor at a fairly young age for her. She was taught how to heal from a druid who lived near her village. She was actually an old wood elf, and that was the Widow Bracken. She's been through a lot in her time. She's, you know, she's related to the halflings who are part of the scales of the Thinker, which is proof positive that sometimes halflings aren't treated or trusted with important things. She's done all sorts of stuff and gotten in all sorts of trouble, but she's grown because of that too. And I love that. Love the character. That's brief.
Okay, well, we do have to talk about your ability to see the future.
Yes. Morian, okay, presumably, and it's not really built into the race that you really see very often, but a lot of times halflings are said to be able to tell the future in some way, and this is just what you see, and players and everything like that, the lore they give to their players or their characters. Mori tells the future by kicking people in the shins.
Of course.
Which is to say, yes, she has her own abilities based on her ability. She learned from a blind halfling who taught her how to kick people in the shins and then tell the future based on how the way her toes tingle. So she kicks them, and then she stands on one foot and contemplates the tingling in her toes. And then the future they're given is always based on... It's almost always in verse. I always make it rhyme to try to kind of make it fun for the other person.
And it's also very halfling, the rhyme.
Yes, the rhyme is always very halfling. And so a lot of times it's fairly general. Now, when I tell the future, I always ask people... And tells, you know, is there anything you want to come out for your character? And sometimes there is, and sometimes there isn't. I incorporate that as much as I can.
And of course, that's how you came up, how you came to the realization that Jethel and Morian were related.
Yes, that is the story. That's how she came up with that, actually, and how she learned of that, because she read his fortune based on the tingling in her toes. And Morian's kicked a lot of people in the shins too. She's kicked a few devs in the shins. She's done all sorts of things to different people, and she's kicked a lot of people in the shins.
Nice. I did get a. Go ahead.
Actually, I have most of this fortunes I told from the Festival of Unity I saved this year, and I was thinking about putting them into a book, but I didn't know if anyone would even want to read it.
Oh, I wouldn't mind seeing it. I did receive a tell here. What can you tell us about the Draftling?
The Tower of the Draftling?
Yes.
Well, it's of course it is in the Shire. There's not a whole lot of lore on it when you look on it from what I've seen, and I could be wrong. you know, if people know more about it than I do, please let me know. But I haven't really seen a whole lot of lore on it. It supposedly has been built by the Bixies, and it's part of, presumably, halflings raid it a whole lot to get to the Jum Dum that is based in, that is made there and produced there. So I don't think that the Bixies and the halflings would really get along very well based on that.
Probably not.
Because there is the whole pretty large Jum Jum factory there. But I don't see that the halflings and Bixies would really get along well.
I wouldn't imagine so. Alright. Well, we got about 15 minutes left. Is there anything else that we haven't touched on that you think might be important to talk about when we talk about halfling?
Well, you know, I'd love to see more halfling players out there. People don't have to have their own accent. You don't have to feel like you have to do that. Many, many halfling characters don't. I've seen a few halfling guilds, but they don't really last very long. And I would love, just in general, to see more people willing to take the risk. And it's kind of a pain, but it's a lot of fun. I love playing halflings. And otherwise, I don't know, they're just a fun little race. They're full of trouble, full of fun, full of jokes and laughter. I love using my halfling as a to make people laugh and to make people smile.
But you also frown.
Even when she frowns, it's generally over something that's pretty funny.
You're always frowning at Jethel.
Jethel is somebody to frown at, I think. He is always pushing his luck with Morian. Always seeing what he can get away with Morian.
Jethel's just being Jethel. And Jethel doesn't care who he offends. Well, he does to a certain extent. But if he thinks you're wrong, then you're wrong, and he's going to tell you.
Yes, that is true. That is, but that's very Jethel, too, and that's not the way that Morian works by any means. Morian is, in keeping with the Irish people and with the Irish culture, from what I learned, I tried also, she's fairly indirect in what she talks about. She tries to be very polite. And that's another thing about halflings. Halflings are almost always very polite, and that's something from the lore of the game, or from lore of Tolkien, that halflings are almost always going to be very polite, and, you know, if you think they think you're wrong, they're probably going to tell you, but they'll say it in a polite way.
I actually just got a non-halfling question. Caliphane from the Antony Bale server wants to know why Jethel wears robes and doesn't look rangerish. Well, that's when he's being casual. You know, like when he goes into the Laughing Ogre Tavern or something like that. If he goes into a tavern, any tavern really, I mean, he frequents Saya's Hammer and Laughing Ogre and the Maiden's Fancy and stuff like that. When he wants to be casual, he wears a robe, and you can, you know, bet your bottom dollar that he's naked under it.
Well, like Hugh Hefner, he has a smoking jacket, Jethel has his robe.
Right. There's several robes, actually.
I didn't know he was naked under it, and I suspect that Morian's not going to be pleased if she ever finds that out.
So I'm going to link and channel here some of the robes that I wear. Let's see here.
He likes that breeze.
Oh, now Caliphane is sorry that they asked.
Yes.
So
oh, yes. Halflings should probably not wear geese. I've been told geese do not look good on halflings.
I wouldn't imagine they would, no. So let's see, I have
By and large, halflings tend to be kind of chubby, and we have wide hips.
Mm-hmm. That's not gi material, really.
So, no, it's not.
Alright, so I wear the flowing black robe. I do wear the robe of seasonal tidings, which is actually a GM item. It was given to me by a GM.
So when you're wearing your robes, you're actually airing yourself out.
And once again, we find some place that Maureen does not want her thoughts to go.
And then, of course, my new Concordium Junior Apprentice robe. I think it looks rather nice.
Oh, did you get that from Station Catch?
I did. And...
Do you like the Station Catch items, then?
Some of them are rather nice. I've gotten most of the Cherrywood sets. The new one that's going to... Actually, is the new one out yet? It's supposed to be out pretty soon.
Yeah.
House item is... The sitting room set is out. Well, there we go.
Okay.
I'm going to have to buy that one now. The sitting room set has just been released. And then...
Drake on string.
No, that's not my
thing. I do.
Well, that's fine, but that's not my thing. But we're all asking now for the Cherry Grove bathroom set. Where's the bathroom set?
Yeah, I know. We need a bathroom set.
Well, that's the question, then. Is there a bathroom in Norath, or do we use
Yes, there is. There's a bathroom in Norath, but you have to go all the way to... Stormhold.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, there's one in Stormhold.
It's in there. I wouldn't, you know, stay in there too long.
Yes, as as was just said in the chat channel there, some of the newer robes that you buy on Station Cash do, shall we say, enhance the female form.
Yep, couple of
women. Oh my God, women look like they've been stung by bees.
They increase your bust size. There's padding in those robes.
There is so much more than mere padding in his robes.
I mean, they look fine on me, but, you know, I never even noticed it until somebody pointed it out to me. I know that's a shock to a lot of people.
So one night I tried it on compared to my normal armor. It's like, oh, yeah.
Boobies.
Boobies. Bigger boobies. I got boobies now, but they're bigger. Those are padded robes. They're Wonder Robes!
The Wonder Robe, there you go.
Yeah, like the Wonder Bra, these are Wonder Robes.
Gotcha. This thing is not dropping for me. I'm getting a little frustrated here.
Are you sure in the right part of the quest? You know how it is, you're getting the wrong part and you expect to drop.
It says right here, I need to obtain a trial stone and somehow use it in the Hall of Rites. And according to the information at Zam.com, any mob in the Sanctum of Scaleborn will drop it. It's a chest. It is a chest that will drop even if the mob is gray.
You might have one already in your bank.
No. Oh, a chest just dropped. Speaking of the devil, it might be here. Disarm the chest. Nope. Damn it. Teaching of Master Wu, page 7. I think I already have that one. No, I don't. Alright. Damn it. Oh, well.
Well, if you need help, I have a mystic who has it, so if I can always just come on over and help out later.
What's that?
If you need one, I have a mystic who has one in her bag, so I can help out later.
Has what?
A trial stone.
Yeah.
I think in order to advance in the quest, I'd have to loot it myself.
Oh, well, that sucks.
Maybe. I'm not sure. I mean, we can definitely give it a try.
Well, the trial stone is supposed to trigger something for you. I forgot.
Well, it's supposed to trigger a ring event.
Yep, and that's all you need to do.
Well, maybe. I mean, it says, obtain trial stone and somehow use it in the Hall of Rites. Maybe if someone else triggers it, I can advance in the quest. I don't know.
Yeah, if I remember right, yeah. Yes, I did that, and I know I sold that damn sword. That makes me upset now. It's like, oh! A lot of stuff I sold because I couldn't... It wasn't any, upgrade. And this was before we could equip stuff. And, I was like, why hang on to it? I already got...
Right.
...umpteen million things in my banks and bags now that I'm hanging on to for no really good reason.
Delmon says that he believes that you just have to complete the ring event to advance in the quest now.
Yeah, you just need somebody to trigger it for you.
Alright, well, we'll have to do that at some point.
And if I remember right, they were a bear to get.
Well, I'm going on, you know, between tonight and last night, I'm going on like my third hour killing everything in sight. Let me tell you, the Temple of Scale, hate me. Temple of Scale cannot get any worse.
There are things and items that are made just for halflings. I don't know if you guys noticed. There are a halfling short sword. There's a halfling dagger.
And only halflings can equip it, or?
No, but they do look better on a halfling than they do on other races, I have noticed.
Oh, okay.
They're kind of made to be short and look short. But they're kind of cool to be able to link at people. Look, I have a halfling short sword.
Oh, yeah? What halfling did you kill to get that? No, wait. Doesn't that mean it was made out of halfling?
I don't think so, no. Not those ones.
Okay, so you can't, like, throw a halfling in a forge and make a sword out of them.
No, but I do roleplay as part of that lore. When a halfling comes to age, there will be certain things that a halfling will be given. For example, a halfling woman would be given a rolling pin to be used on men.
Of course.
You would never use a rolling pin on anything else, you know. And a halfling young man would be given the short sword or a knife or something along those lines.
That makes sense. Congratulations, you made it to 33, to your 33rd birthday. Here's a knife. Of course, the most famous of these rolling pins would be the Den Mother's rolling pin of doom. Have you ever met Den Mom?
Not myself, no.
You must meet Den Mother. She is so cool. Met her at the fanfare and damn near killed her.
I've never been to fanfare myself either.
Legion,
for various reasons.
Legion of Kithakoras gathered up doing the live quest. We see Den Mom coming toward us. We all break into the Den Mom has got it going on. And she just turned bright red and almost hit the floor. She blushed so hard we almost made her pass out.
There are times I blush so much I have to leave the computer.
It was 10 of us.
It was fun, though. Den Mom's a sweetie.
I don't know. Is there anything else anyone wants to know about halflings?
Come on, folks.
And yes,
you gotta be...
sometimes knives, I do roleplay the knife would be like a short sword for a halfling. Does anyone have any great ideas or whatever for halflings?
Recipes... Sporting events.
Okay. Do halflings do it in the dark, or did they leave the light on?
That's a weird question. I suppose that would be up to individual taste, really.
Wait, what is that?
Whether you do it in the dark or leave the lights on.
That would definitely be a question for individual taste. But thanks for the question. That was a good one.
Weird. See, there's a reason we have a mature audience warning.
Oh, shush!
Now, maybe I should put on...
They're not wanting to know this.
Maybe I should put on a juvenile... The following show is rated for mature audiences and can get really, really juvenile. Now,
I'm sure other people wanted to know this.
Okay... If you say so, hon. What would the halfling do if there were no more Jum Jum? You farmed and ate it all. What would happen, do you think?
I think it would be pretty bad for halflings all the way around. We would be, to say the least, we would be dismayed.
Weed the left of the Jum Jum, plant a new batch. You ate the seeds! You fool, whiz! Where's me rolling pin? The halfling that ate the last of the Jum Jum would be one sorry little halfling, I would think. There would be mass hysteria, dog and cats living together. Fire and brimstone raining from the sky. All right. I think we're just about out of time. Do you have any shout-outs? Anyone you want to say hi to?
Well, of course, I want to shout out to the Legacy of Honor and everyone in the Legacy of Honor. I'm tremendously fond of my guild. Shout out to the Knights of Freeport, my other guild. I'm very, very fond of them. And, of course, the VK.
Okay, stream's back up. Just in time for us to cut out of here and play a bit of music. If you have any requests, by all means, say it in channel, although I probably won't be there. I have to go play with my new phone. Got a new phone.
He's got a new toy. Watch out.
Yep, I got the brand new MyTouch, the one they just started advertising on TV. It's like T-Mobile's version of the iPhone. We gotta check this out.
Right, my prediction is that in about a couple months you're gonna be bitching about it.
Oh, probably. Probably. Wilhelm from the Mistborn channel wants to know real quick, how much food does it take to actually make a halfling be full?
A good deal more than most people are willing to feed a halfling, and I've never actually explored that myself, but I imagine it's a lot of food.
I would imagine so. I don't think I've ever seen a halfling sit down at a table and go, no, really, I'm full.
Nah, yeah.
I've never seen that.
I can't imagine. It would be a lot of food.
You know, because they would be like, yeah, okay. Wait a minute. Let me punch myself in the stomach and make a little more room. There we go! All right.
Well, I don't know if any halfling would go that far, but yeah, we would eat a lot.
All right, folks. That's the end of the show for this week. Crap. Next week, I believe we're doing Ratongas. Let me check real quick here. To the forums where I have the schedule up. I believe next week I'm supposed to have Tosta and is it Tosta or Tosta?
Tosta. Well, it depends. Because she's the color of buttered toast, she says that her mother named her Tosta.
Ah, gotcha. That does make sense. Okay, now where is it? Okay, now you're experts. Here we go. Next week is the 8th, and that will be, yes, Ratongas with Tosta and Spindle. I'll have to shoot them a tell and remind them about that if they're not listening. So next week, Ratongas with Tosta and Spindle, who have starred in last year's Frostville video. Frostville, don't be late. All right, folks, that's it. I'm going to go play with my new phone. Enjoy the random bits of music. Maureen, thank you for stopping by.
Thank you for having me.
You're always a pleasure. I love you to pieces.
I know. Everyone does.
Everyone loves Maureen.
Even when they shouldn't.
I mean, I can honestly, I would like to be a fly on the wall each time you get captured by the Knights of Freeport. I can see Thaddeus like, torture her! But it's Maureen!
Sometimes it seems that way. I have a lot of friends, and a lot of in-character friends, too, in really strange places.
Nice. All right, folks, that's it for this week. See you next week. I'll have the podcast up today probably.
Well, all right, that's it for this week's episode of the Gentle Silverwing Show. I'm your host, Gentle Silverwing.
I'm the Drunken Dwarf!
And I'm Cheese and Nibblebuns!
Online Gaming Radio is a proud member of the ZAM Network. Our producer is D Pockets. Our technical advisor is Spike Link Death. Facts and Intelligence brought to us by the Grassy Knoll. Our spiritual advisor is Al Kilholic. Sensitivity Seminars by Mandy Feldersnatch. And noted contributions by 3 Badgers, 2 Giant Rats, a 4-pound jar of jelly beans, package of expired Twinkies, and a small rock.
Yay, rock!
Be sure to catch our show every Tuesday at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific, at some ungodly hour in the UK. So, for the Drunken Dwarf, Cheez-It, and my love, Elkwin Jenna, Q. keep your arrows in the air and your feet on the ground.